After the ugly Friday for technology stocks, there is always Monday.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Friday, tech stocks had their worst day in 2 months, with the technology-suffused NASDAQ Composite Index falling 2.6%. But in early trading on Monday, things were down a bit for the NASDAQ Composite Index. Other stock indices were down as well. Carl Riccadonna is senior U.S. economist at Deutsche Bank Securities. Hello, Carl.
Good morning.
So I guess we can borrow from botany to help us explain what happened with technology stocks. Trees do not grow to the sky. Things don't keep escalating infinitely.
Well, I think there's some natural limit as to how far stocks can get ahead of overall economic growth. Maybe this recovery is getting a little bit more mature, a little longer in the tooth, and therefore we're getting to a point where the Fed may start to normalize interest rates.
Now, on Friday, we figured out that the U.S. economy has now put back all the jobs it lost, all the private sector jobs it lost during the long recession, not with equally decent jobs, but the number has recovered. What is another job market milestone we need to watch this week?
That's been a key point for Fed Chair Janet Yellen. Now, we got to that threshold on Friday, but she has a whole dashboard of labor indicators, and we get an update on one of those key points actually tomorrow morning with the JOLTS data. That's Job Openings and Labor Turnover Survey. That survey is not telling us that we've normalized just yet. In particular, something Janet Yellen has focused on is the quit rate, the number of people who are actually quitting their job, and quits are still about 25% below where they were in the heydays of the last expansion. So that's going to be another benchmark to focus on. We'll see that tomorrow morning.
Carl Riccadonna at Deutsche Bank Securities, thank you very much.
Thank you.
President Obama is expected to sidestep Congress at least twice this week in a campaign to close the pay gap between women and men, Marketplace's Adrian Hill reports.
We're expecting two executive orders this week. One would prohibit federal contractors from retaliating against workers who talk about what they get paid. The other would require contractors to send the government data about who it pays how much, including race and gender information. Fatima Goss-Graves is with the National Women's Law Center.
Federal contractors employ almost a quarter of the workforce. So it's going to be a really meaningful thing for many workers around the country.
But exactly how meaningful these orders will be, we'll have to see. Linda Barrington heads the Institute for Compensation Studies at Cornell.
I think they're much more symbolic to get us talking about the wage gap. But if we don't do that, we can't reduce the wage gap.
Women currently make about 77% of what men do. Much of that has to do with the type of jobs they have, their time in the workforce. All things Barrington thinks we need to talk about. I'm Adrian Hill for Marketplace.
I did a series about the last taboo, never ever talking about your salary to your coworkers. There's a link on Facebook at APM Marketplace. Only about half of college students finish their degrees within 6 years. Colleges are under pressure to fix this, to get more of those students across the finish line on time. One state school in Maryland is trying an experiment offering a free semester for students who finish in 4 years. From the Marketplace Education Desk at WYPR in Baltimore, Amy Scott reports.
Samantha Peterson is what you might call a typical student at the University of Baltimore.
I am a junior-ish.
What does that mean?
That means that I've been in school for a very long time.
She's been in school studying criminal justice 5 or 6 years now, she says, because she works full-time at a school cafeteria.
I'm a lunch lady, yeah.
Baltimore is like a lot of urban public universities. Most students here work, and more than half need to take remedial courses. That's partly why just 12 to 15% of students graduate in 4 years. Dominique Raymond is with the advocacy group Complete College America.
The longer it takes for students to complete college, the more life gets in the way, and the less likely they are to graduate.
So starting in the fall, the University of Baltimore will offer new freshmen a deal. If they finish in 4 years, the last semester's tuition is on the house. At today's prices, that's worth about $3,300 for in-state students. President Bob Bogomolny expects the university to save money by getting students through faster. It could also attract more full-time students.
If we can motivate a few students to have the advantage of finishing in four, to have less loans to get into the workforce sooner, it's worth it to us.
Other schools offer incentives like scholarships and loan forgiveness for students who go full time. The University of North Texas just approved a plan that gives students a fixed tuition rate and $4,000 discount if they finish in 4 years. At the University of Baltimore, junior Blair Lee wishes the free semester deal had been around when he started.
I was actually kind of excited when I heard that, a little jealous. I think it will give more people an incentive to finish faster and go on to possibly pursue graduate studies.
Lee is proof that money can be a powerful motivator. He's one of the rare students who expects to finish in 4 years while working full time. He wants to avoid paying out-of-state tuition any longer than he has to. In Baltimore, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
And here's one more number. The biggest economy in Africa is no longer South Africa. A new accounting puts Nigeria on top. Statisticians changed the way they measure telecoms, banks, even the Nigerian film industry. It was quite a revision. It makes Nigeria's GDP look 89% larger. South Africa's economy remains bigger per capita because Nigeria has way more people. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.